The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Good morning all, Ryan Tuberty with you this Tuesday morning. A beautiful, bright, sunny morning in Dublin at least. It's the 30th of the 3rd, 2021, and we're here till 10 o'clock. The text number is 51551 and you can email ryan at rte.ie. Funny when you say the 30th of the 3rd, 2021. Americans always think, and I think a lot of British people think, we do not pronounce the TH. Now, I know some people don't. Some people pronounce the TH as a D. Dirty. But I think some people pronounce it completely correctly. I'm not going to go on about it. I don't really want to get into correspondence about it. I'm just saying it as a passing, whimsical observation is all and all and all. Much talk about weddings. I was doing a few clips for people for video clips for a wedding and birthdays and things like that yesterday. And I was wondering about the wedding, the COVID wedding, and how's that working out for everybody? And I suspect that there is a value to intimacy in having small numbers. I think you might have a better, more interesting wedding an intimate wedding than you might have had with 150 people chased around the place and your nerves gone and not really getting to see anyone properly. I have no idea. But I do know that some weddings have been destroyed by the arrival of the drunkle. The drunk uncle who decides I'm going to get involved here, and it might just be to say a few words that weren't on the agenda, and it might be to sing a song. And unfortunately, drunkles very often don't realise that. And actually, no, I'm not going to just blame the uncles. There are some people at a wedding who don't realise that your song that you choose to sing when everyone's kind of half gone to bed, or the sing song at the end, was often the best bit. Don't sing a song that with 55 verses. Please, I beg you, don't do that. Because maybe it's a song, it's a history song, and it goes on, and then they all died. And how many of them died? Well, the first fella died, then the second fella, and their names, and their family, the village they came from, and the headland they came from, and all the people who mourned them came from them. And you say, how many of them? 32 was a mining accident. Oh, for God, they were in for the mine. And just pick a nice, like, it's because you are essentially the wedding party equivalent of a modern American podcast. You simply don't know when to end, and you're not as interesting as you think you are, and it was fine for the first two episodes. That's just a passing thought. So imagine the couple who say, we're going to spend 5 bazillion quid and get married in Mar-a-Lago, or whatever the Mar-a-Lago, the Trump White House on tour, when who walks in with a podcast sing-song session to say a few hellos on the microphone. None other than...
You know, I just got the news. I get all those flash reports, and they're telling me about the border.
Now, bear in mind, the couple are sitting down, going, yeah, this is nice, but here's the press. This could be fun.
Well, they were ready to make it. Yeah, they would have done anything. And this guy goes and drops the sanctions, and then he says, we want to negotiate.
So he's... not only not talking about the bride and groom, not only talking about their happiness or life, broadly speaking, he's talking about losing the election and the coverage he's getting in.
You saw what happened a few days ago. It was terrible. And the border's not good. The border is the worst anybody's ever seen it.
It is like the worst stand-up routine you ever saw at a wedding. And it was probably great crack for the first 10 minutes, getting the pictures out, and still...
handshake. And the top is... in the most humanitarian way.
Now, the couple are looking at each other going, now, hang on a second. Did anyone hire this guy? And if so, can we get rid of him?
Nobody has ever seen anybody. There's never been anything like what's... And you're going to have hundreds, and you have it now. They have the airplane photos, the shops.
Now you can't even go to the bar because he'd probably call you out. And you're thinking, well, how long is he going to stay here for? I don't know. Does anyone know anyone who could maybe call a bouncer?
It's a disaster. It's a humanitarian disaster from their standpoint.
I could be here pretty much all morning. He just wouldn't stop railing against Joe Biden, the election results, the border. Amazing. That was at the hotel, at the golf resort, the family and the weddings party looking up going, wow, amazing. Amazing. Anyone watching Line of Duty? I must say, I'm not going to give one bit away of it. It is, because I saw a few mealy-mouthed reviews about it yesterday, but I think that sometimes the reviewers, especially with Line of Duty, they obviously haven't watched any of the other seasons. Line of Duty is like this bizarre painting that they kind of throw bits at it, and only when you stand back after the end of the season, you go, ah, it all comes together. So hold your wished, as Adrian Dunbar's Ted Hastings would say, because it's really good. And actually, you know what? It's like watching, I'm watching Gomorra at the moment as well, which is essentially love-hate, but in Naples. So it's rough and gritty and gangstery, and I'm loving it. That's one thing I'm watching. And what I like about watching it is because it's in Italian, you have to read it because of subtitles, and therefore you can't be distracted by your phone, your stupid phone, which I hate. I hate my phone. And equally with Line of Duty, it's so complicated and head-wrecking and melting that you can't be near your phone because you'll miss a trick. So that's another good thing. So these are great. But anyway, according to the Indo today, independent.ie, millions of fans of the programme who were glued to the weekend's first episode of the new series were unaware that part of the action was filmed in George Best's old stomping ground in Belfast, you see. And the late Man United and Northern Ireland legends' relatives have confirmed the best-kept, well-done, secret that the family home in the state that it was originally from could be spotted during several scenes showing a raid on a suspect's house. Now, there you go. You'd want to be a well... got George Best fan to have spotted that. 16 Burren Way, said George's brother-in-law. And the last time that house was seen was at George's funeral, as the cortege left the house after a private blessing in 2005. And local residents were intrigued to see the cast gathering amid the rain and the wind in October to complete filming there, which is amazing. There's Kelly MacDonald, the actor you may know from, I think, Boardwalk Empire would be the last major role I remember her in, is in it too. Okay, and meanwhile, we've often talked with admiration about the elegant raven and the way he might or she might look at you. And the ravens in a certain part of America, in Alaska, have become so smart and so Hitchcockian in their endeavours that shoppers now need to make a run from the supermarket to the car with their bags, because the ravens know what's in the bag. They know what to target, when to target, and how to target it. That's how bright these guys are. One guy was packing his groceries into his car in the parking lot. The raven swooped in and took a short rib from his cart, I should say, this trolley. And he said, the guy said, I took 10 steps away, turned around, two ravens came down and instantly grabbed one out of the package, ripped it off, flew off. And the piece of meat was about 4 by 7 inches. Sizable meal for a sizable bird. They knew what they were doing. It's not the first time. They're very fat around here. So I think the whole system, they haven't sussed. Other sightings have emerged. One said, my parents were minding their business after a shop, made it home, but one less steak. The bird snatched it right out of the pack in the parking lot. The ravens have been described as, they're like calculating. She said ravens hovered around her in an attempt to steal her groceries. I had two of them, one that was on the car next to me, and he kept squawking really loudly. And he'd sit on the car and stare at me and then hop next to the bed of the truck on the other side. And he kept going back and forth. And the other raven was on the ground. And he kept trying to pull. And I had these little melons, and you have them in these mesh bags, and he kept trying to grab the netting and pull the melon out of the trolley. And a raven started to fly in a circle around this person until she got them to beat it, basically. And he was waiting for another opportunity to grab them, and you get it, they're smart. Tread carefully, you never know. Text 51551, Kira was on, said the bride was on Twitter afterwards saying, that's my president. Delighted. God, so she was delighted with it. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's fair. Well, some people would be delighted to have their.
You know, I turned on the news, I get all these flash
railing against.
They're telling me about the border, they're telling me about China. They're telling me about Iran. How are we doing with Iran?
Beautiful speech. Do not overlook the drunk aunt at weddings, who can be equally, if not more, difficult, says Joe. Oh, well, if you should. Equal opportunities. Drunk aunts, drunk uncles, come one, come all. Friend's drunk uncle or drunkle, says a text, wandered out of her wedding venue and found a wall on which to relieve himself. Unfortunately, it was, the glass wall / window directly behind the top table, and everyone saw, Irish weddings. There's a tiny little harbour town in Iceland, you know my obsession with Iceland, called Húsavík. And if anyone's watched the film, which I have, Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga with Will Ferrell, it's the oddest, Pierce Brosnan's in it too, it's the oddest, nearly funny film I've seen for some time about the Eurovision Song Contest and Iceland. But the Eurovision Song Contest community, for it there is one, embraced it. They thought it was funny and they got the joke, in fairness to them. But there was a campaign to get the song, one of the songs from the movie, nominated for an Oscar. And it did. It got nominated for best in the Best Song, Best Original Song category. And the song's called Húsavík. And they're all now very excited. Ya Ding Dong. That was the song that was quite funny in the film on occasion. There's a coffee shop called now, a cafe called Ya Ding Dong, which is kind of exciting. I am quite enjoying saying Ya Ding Dong for whatever reason this morning, but there you are. And it made us... So I will watch that with interest, Iceland's pursuit of Oscar glory. Now, I'm new to Spotify, but I'm really enjoying it. I have to say, it beats the pants off Apple Music, no question about it. It's very accessible, very user-friendly and reasonable. And a guy called James Yorkston, I don't know James Moore, he's a musician. And he said, I'm not a massive fan of Spotify, but since they've added that magic button where people can tip the musicians, have you heard about this? I've seen a small stream of cash coming in. So he's obviously a musician. It's most heartening. My phone goes bing and someone has tipped me maybe £20 or £2 or whatever, simply because they like my music. Financially, it's small, but it's welcome. But knowing folk are thinking about and enjoying the music enough to make the effort is really, really lovely. So musicians, if you haven't activated the button, you should do so. It's worth it. That's good. I think that's really good news for musicians, because I suspect, I don't know enough about it, but that the Spotify world is tricky to sell, to make money, especially if you're a young and up-and-coming musician. So I hope that you do. As somebody says about the boat in the Suez Canal, the Evergreen, the boat made it and so can you. That's a lesson in life for us all. I think that just on the restriction lifting coming in the middle of April, I think there's a cleverness to what they're doing. I was kind of given out of it yesterday, but I think there's cleverness to say, yeah, we're going to give you, you can travel within the counties in the middle of April. That's better than saying you can have eight kilometres, you know, tomorrow. I'd rather the whole county in 2 weeks. So they're playing psychological chicken with us now, and that's okay. I don't mind that, as long as I see hope and potential restrictions being lifted. You can play chicken all day long, but just tell me we're coming out of this thing with something that we can all benefit from, which we can from the certainly the intra-county, which is pretty good. Kelly MacDonald says a death cut her teeth in Oscar-winning Gosford Park. It's an excellent murder mystery. Oh, sure, I've seen it, Shane, not only once but twice. I loved it. Great Stephen Fry is in that too, and it's a lovely, almost Agatha Christie-like setup. And I think Maggie Smith is in. It's kind of, there's a touch of Downton's about it, but it's very good. Take one more. On behalf of the drunken uncle's Threadland, we refuse to be linked with Donald Trump. He doesn't drink, so he's automatically excluded. But even more importantly, he interrupted before the traditional drunkle arrives at drunkenness. We are generally sober until about an hour after the formal part of the wedding. Yours respectfully, from the Honourable Society of Drunken Uncles. I appreciate that text and the sentiment with which you wrote it, because I wouldn't like to do a bad drunkle down. It just simply wouldn't be fair. All right, we're open for business at 18 minutes past nine. It's Tuesday morning and it's great to have you with us. It's the Carl, or as they've been known in Dublin, the Cartel, and that's called Dreaming of You at 9:20, 51551. I'm 73, says the text. I don't want to travel within Meath. I just want to visit the beach in Donabate. The beach isn't going anywhere and neither are you. But it'll all happen. It's slowly, softly, softly catchy restriction lifting. I would like to recommend Assassins, says Val, available on Sky, the story of the two young women who killed the brother of the North Korean leader. The same people as behind The Keeper on Netflix. Intriguing and very well made. They thought they were part of a prank show. It's an incredible story. Do you know what? I passed that by and thought, I don't know if that's for me. But now you've convinced me completely, so I will watch that. I love good documentary. I watched all 4 hours of the Woody Allen versus Mia Farrow documentary, essentially. There are four pretty much standalone hours, so you don't have to watch it, obviously, as a big, massive piece. And I was a little queasy. It's not an easy viewing, not an easy watch at all. That would come with a major warning because of some of the details it goes into and so the case that you're dealing with. And it, I suppose in many ways it throws up that enormous argument about separating the art from the artist, as well as the fundamental issue of... I don't really want to get into it in too great detail, given the week that's in it with kids off and everything like that, but you probably get the point of what I'm saying. Anyway, if you've seen it, I would be curious to know what you thought of it. Let me know. Now, I see also Noel was on. Noel is always a good man for a bit of messing. He says, the ravens you talk about are only stealing the food for a lark. You can have that for nothing. And that brings us neatly, as we're in the animal kingdom, to the call to all kids with pets. All this week we're celebrating the Pet Fix Club, online shop for pet lovers. It was created by a team of trusted animal experts, including vet Pete Wedderburn. Pet Fix Club gives you all the pet advice you need, as well as being an exciting online shop full of the best pet products, all selected by Pete the vet. And we have a Samsung Galaxy A7 tablet and amazing PetFix Club prizes to win every day, including €150 voucher for PetFixShop.ie, PetFix membership card, PetFix food for your dog, your cat, and a selection of Chuck It products. So if, like Dahi yesterday, your pets are like the EastEnders of the estate, going off with owl ones down the road, or indeed you've got some weird and wonderful furry, fishy or feathery friends you'd like to tell us all about, just get on to us now, 1850-715-900. Play our Kids Know Pets quiz to win with a chance to win. It's a thanks to PetFix Club and PetFixShop.ie. 9:31, 515-51 is the text number. In Headford Golf Club, Kells, golfers pulling in after the ninth for a water stop leave their golf bag outside the clubhouse. People looking out the window have regularly seen crows attack the bags, and I've seen them open zips in the pockets of the bag so as to access any little snacks that might be inside. Clever what? They are a clever strain of the avian world. There's no doubt about it. The crows and the... We talk about them fairly regularly. They seem just to be particularly smart. Are you sure it was ravens? They're not exactly dressed for the occasion. Sounds more like the hooded crow. Well, I'm not. I don't have a clue, to be honest with you. Ornithology isn't my thing, but I can imagine them actually getting ready for the morning, looking at the mirror, which they've been tapping at with their beak, and then just adjusting the hood, and then saying, "I'm out of here," swoop, and into the shopping trolley. Assassins is also available to rent on the IFI at home platform. If people want to support Irish, which I do, so I will definitely get my copy of it there. So thank you for that. That's a great steer. Thinking of Russell Crowe today, sad to see that his dad passed away, John Alexander Crowe. A beautiful dad, he said, and the most gentle of men. He was a former film set caterer, and he passed away in New South Wales at the age of 85. Russell Crowe was writing, "I arrived back in the bush last night. Today, although the sun is shining and the torrential rain has abated, this date will forever be tinged with sadness. My dear old man, my beautiful dad, the most gentle of men, has passed away. And I'm posting this because I know there are people all over the world whose heart he touched and whose ribs he tickled with his sparkly eyes and his cheeky attitude to everyone and everything. And this is probably as efficient a method as any to pass on the news." And he was very close to his parents, in fairness, Russell Crowe. So that's a sad development there. And just one other story that I missed earlier on, which was, and it's completely not important really, but just as I enjoyed The Crown so much, which I did, and I particularly enjoyed the performance of Josh O'Connor, the actor who played Prince Charles in it. He kind of let slip in an interview for GQ magazine that who's going to replace him and play older Prince Charles looks like it may well be Dominic West, actor, who will play that part. Would be interesting. And don't forget, I just remember now, Jesse Buckley are one of our favourites, and Josh O'Connor, their performance in Romeo and Juliet is going to be on Bank Holiday Monday. I think it's on Sky, and I think that is going to be very, very, very beautiful. Ruth Cahill from Maynooth was on 51551. Just heard you talking about Ross and talking with Ross rather about his dad Ronan, and raising funds for the Irish Cancer Society. Ross's dad, a stranger to me many years ago, showed my ambulance-loving children his ambulance when we were on holidays in Donegal. Such a gentleman. And here is a photo from that day. Always grateful to the special hour we had with him and how generous he was with his time for our children. And thank you for sending a picture with that, which is lovely too. Thank you, Ruth. It's amazing, the stories that resonate for different reasons on the radio in a given morning. Amazing. Dahi Bulger here. Oh, is that young Dahi from yesterday's Pet Fix quiz? Dahi here from yesterday's quiz. Thank you for choosing me to go on the show. I had lots of people congratulating me afterwards. My aunt got bad news about one of her cats yesterday, so I'm going to share my Pet Fix prize with her. Generous boy. Good man. Golfers in Belmont Club Golf Club need to run after hitting their tee shot from the 10th tee down into a valley with high hills on each side where the ravens wait. They wait to pounce down and steal the balls. They're particularly fond of a certain white Pro 6 ball. The greenkeeper found their nest, which is a golfer's Aladdin's cave, said Jimmy. Oh, I thought they just wanted meat and flesh. Magpie Murders, says Helen, was being filmed in Herbert Park last week. What? This is one of my favourite books. Magpie Murders, the Anthony Horowitz, was being filmed in Herbert Park in Dublin. No one told me. No one. I don't believe it. That's amazing. Tell me everything. Mairead said, delighted you had Ronan on this morning. I'm listening to his book on BorrowBox for the third time. There's a compliment. And Michael Ryan in Castle Knock says, this book is amazing. It's called Leonard and Hungry Paul. It gives a great insight into the lives of people who have unique ways of looking at the world. And another says, it was such an important book, says Bill. For me, I will never be the loudest person in the room. I never want to be. The book shines a necessary light on ordinary, quiet, kind, decent people. So thank you, Ronan, for giving us a voice. And lots of appreciation for Ross earlier on, and to Breege and the family. The O'Keeney family is well known and loved in Donegal, have lost so much and still keep going. They're amazing people. That's lovely to top and tail the programme with a compliment to that great family. Thank you all for listening to the show this morning. Claire Byrne standing by. Be sure to stay tuned to her, and we'll see you tomorrow between 9 and 10. Have a beautiful day.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.